What a fucking game.
Welcome to Split the Defense. Leafs post-game edition.
Which is unusual.
Split the Defense is presented by LaForest Electrical Contractors. Professional and efficient service since 2004. Serving the Kingston and surrounding areas.
I always feel so stupid.
Well, it seemed like they were missing something.
Alongside co-host Craig Pierce and producer Ted Evans, here's your host, Jordan Webster.
How can you not love this team tonight?
Holy fuck, CP. Leafs lose 4-2, go down 2-1 in the series. Oh my God, Brad Marchand. Take us away. Where do you want to start?
Oh, I don't know. I feel like just the friggin' refs tonight just pissed me off. I yelled at my TV more tonight than I have in a long time. And just it was all about timing. And I get that, like, they miss a bunch of them and they're calling random ones. But for that, like, McAvoy taking down Matthews play and then to lead to the Bertuzzi and Marchand are wrestling at center ice, basically. It's WWE. Yeah. And then it just leads directly to a goal, which, like, I mean, I think Sammy has to have that save. But at the same time, it's just like the whistle should have been blown multiple times leading up to that. And yeah, just kind of, I mean, it's a nice shot, but geez, that's one that you want. So, and like, look at the angle. Look at, like, no, that has to be saved. Just, oh man, that whole sequence of play there just made me furious.
Piss poor from many areas tonight. The refs, they made fucking 10 bad calls or whatever they made. They made six. Leafs got six power plays, went 0-for-6 on the power play.
Yeah, that's.
And then however many the Bruins got. So that's like, you know, four. They made 10 calls and then they missed 12. Yeah, the refs were fucking brutal tonight, but that's not why the Leafs lost the game. The Leafs failed to score more than two goals
again
in a playoff series.
Yeah.
And you can pretty much directly blame the loss tonight on the special teams. The shit that we've been digging at all season. So if that tells me anything, it's that if you're right in the regular season, you're right in the playoffs. Tyler Bertuzzi came up big with a goal tonight, but there's no such thing as a playoff difference. There's absolutely no difference. And yeah, the shit that we saw on the regular season is rearing its ugly head here now in the playoffs. Like, there were 60 hits in this game in the first period.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, let's stay to the power play there. Like, we're missing.
No, my point is we're talking playoff hockey, right?
Yeah.
We're talking playoff hockey, and you can't wake up to score more than two goals. You got 60 hits, but you can't score more than two fucking goals.
Yeah, and I think they're two very different things, you know, like
you're focusing on the wrong thing is what I think. I think they're fucking heads in the wrong spot.
No, I don't think so. Cause like this team, I like their play better than any other team previously by far, by a landslide, but again, it all comes down to the star scoring and is the power play good at all? You know, like we could have used one for six would have been absolutely amazing and a game changer tonight. But yeah, just can't get it, you know, and six, like, that would have been
that over a season is fucking terrible. Like 2-for-6 is where it should be for a normal power play.
For sure. I'm not saying it's good. It's just like I'm begging for one, you know, and it would have changed the game dramatically to just have like a half ass power play and not even just a good one. So if they have a good power play, this game's over. The series is over. But that's not what they have. And like I said, William Nylander, I don't know where the frig this guy is, what's wrong with him, but like it I don't want it to be serious, obviously, but like to keep you out of three games when you're desperately needed, I don't know. Like I'm questioning that scenario, and I don't want to dive into it because it's just gone out of hand online.
I think we can talk a little bit about that. I'm not sure how desperate the situation really was. It might be now. But in the first period, they had no shots on goal in two power play attempts. Two power play attempts. They had an extra guy on the ice two times, so for 4 minutes, and they didn't get a shot on goal. They go 0-for-6 on the power play tonight. DeBrusk scores on the power play for the Bruins. The penalty kill sucked. Like, it's just a terrible night. It's a horrible, terrible night for these special teams. And exactly the same shit that we saw all season long. It's just unbelievable that we tricked ourselves into thinking it might be different, that the power play was skidding downhill at the end of the season, and we're like, it's going to be fine. It'll be fine. They don't call penalties in the playoffs. Yeah, apparently they do. They call a fucking shit ton now.
They always call penalties. It's the infraction to penalty ratio that goes off the chain. So, like, yes, there's always the same. It's basically the same amount of penalties in the regular season and the playoffs. But, like, there's just so many non-calls, and that's what the big difference is. And that's where, like, kind of people get confused. But, like, I don't think anyone was saying that it was okay. That, like, it was just one of those where, like, they had to bounce out of it, and they still have to bounce out of it. And they just have gone down this road now where confidence is down. And when it's, like, and it's all, like, a new look now that we're in the playoffs without Nylander. And I just don't like it. Like, you can see that, like, Matthews is begging for a good opportunity, and they're just not coming their way. Like, Bertuzzi gets the most shots because he's the only one that's willing to just shuffle it through traffic and right into the goalie's pad twice in a row and an open net too. But yeah, it's just like, I just feel like Marner can't create for Matthews, and Matthews is just over there just dying for an opportunity and not getting one. So, like, how many shots do you think he has? Like, clear open shots that Matthews has gotten over those six just tonight. Like, I don't know, like one nice shot. Like, that's not what the power play is supposed to be. Like, when Ovechkin is out there, like, even though they know exactly what's going on, he still gets three or four off. Like, maybe they're not on net, but, like, it's just the around him. Like, I think Matthews should sit in that spot, like, because that's his best spot. That's where he can, even if the goalie knows it's coming, like, he can still ring it, but he's got to get the opportunity. And it's just not.
He had the one that went under Swayman's arm, right? And then over the net. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good opportunity. I think he might have had one more but Boston, man, like, in their own defensive zone, structurally, they're sound. So, like, something that I have here in my notes tonight is that you got to score first against Boston, because once they settle into that structure, they know how to play shut down hockey, I guess you can call it, but they know how to not make mistakes when they don't have to press for offense. But if you put them down and you can score first, that is where the Leafs started to take control of the game tonight. And that was where, like, posts and Swayman and everything got in the way. But, you know, you got to score first on these guys. Otherwise, you're not going to get anything through. Matthews isn't going to get a shot through. They're going to block it, right? Like, how many block shots were there tonight, man? Like, what a defensive night for the Boston Bruins. The whole, the one power play, I think it was, with Tyler Bertuzzi, and he had like three shots, and the Swayman's on his belly, and there's just shot block. Like, you aren't getting anything through, and Mitch tries to put one through.
Two of those he saved.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he actually got three shot attempts. Swayman's pads, and like, that's that puck has to go. There are so many situations where, like, the Domi one, like, Swayman is behind his net playing the puck and goes right to Domi. And, like, somehow he gets in front of the net, but somehow just can't get a shot off on a wide open cage. Like, yeah, there was more than one time tonight where it could have been the puck in the net. No question. And, like, that one where Matthews, he beats Swayman, but, like, to the wrong side, because Swayman's covering most of that side of the net. So, like, yeah, I mean, Swayman's unreal. Like, he played amazing. It feels like you have to do everything to beat that guy. And, like, it's like, I'm pretty confident that they're going to go back to him, because I know that Allmark.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, 100%. Allmark was fine, and, like, he's better than, like, goalies that, like, we have. But it's just, like, Swayman. It's, I don't know if it's the Leafs thing. I know he's an amazing goalie, and he plays well against, like, the whole league. But it's unbelievable the way he plays. Like,
I mean, it was a 1-1 game going into the third, right? Sammy played well. Yeah. He let in three in the third, and, you know, that's shit, but for 40 minutes of the game, which is obviously not the full game, say whatever you want, he had a good game. I have good notes in here about Ilya Samsonov. He was holding this team in it, and I mean, like, you know, Linus Ullmark and Ilya Samsonov are at their, you know, Ilya Samsonov at his best is comparable to an average Linus Ullmark.
Okay. Right. Yeah. I wasn't sure we were going there for a second, but I agree with you now. Yeah.
Ilya Samsonov at his best is good to, like, every day, like, not on top of the world playing on fire, Linus Ullmark, but, like, what we saw, and Linus Ullmark of this season, who was good, but not as good as last year. So, like, I mean, it doesn't really, the goaltending really doesn't matter is when it comes down to defensive structure, and the Leafs, they are getting tied up in their own zone. They can't get a puck around the boards. There was a lot of times where I wonder just how much hockey IQ it is, but there was one specific play with Max Domi, and he was reaching for the puck, and he was about a foot away from where he should have been. If he would have been 1 foot over, his stick would have been able to pinch the boards, and the light little pass that he just couldn't reach would have been on his stick. And it's not like he was, well, trying to cheat to the middle. It was like, that was his zone. That was his area. And it just felt like there was a lot of that in the defensive zone as much as the offensive zone as well. Like, I mean, as I picked this apart on the defensive zone, every time they got into the offensive zone, the Bruins would tie them up again, and a puck would go between the legs. You couldn't get a pass off. It was just, it's a dog's breakfast out there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm just kind of reading this where Matt Beaumont here, I'll put it on the screen here, but Bob says that game-winning goal was on Domi just standing around like a pylon. There's only one thing worse than a Leafs loss in the playoffs to the Bruins, and that's the Rat scoring the game-winning goal. And, like, it's funny. This is coming from a Habs fan. And, like, it's the whole world knows the Leafs trauma and the Leafs story, right? It's, I don't know. The Rat,
why would he leave him wide open like that? Yeah. It's got to be anybody. Anybody to score that goal and the one to ice the cake when the Leafs were pushing at the end. Yeah.
Yeah.
The empty netter. Yeah. Fuck me. If anybody has to do it, why does it have to be Brad Marchand? Like, I mean, I guess DeBrusque also got a goal tonight. I literally said fuck out loud when DeBrusque scored. Like, of fucking course.
Yeah, those might have been my exact words as well. I mean, he's now like climbing the charts for most power play goals on the Leafs I don't know if it's like in all play or if it's just in the playoffs, but yeah, it's crazy how that guy plays against the Leafs and like that one on the Marchand goal. Like, I mean, Sammy lost his stick, but he still played it like basically perfect, and there's no other spot that puck could have gone in. You know, like, look at that corner that he picks.
Perfect.
It touches Sammy's shoulder too. So, like, oh man, that's a millimeter from being a huge save. Still a crazy fuck up by Domi. I'm not sure why he's just standing around, but yeah, Sammy almost had it. And like you said, he Sammy at his best is an amazing goalie. Like, yeah, no question about it. It's just, you know, in the first shot of the game, I think it was. Shot from distance, and it's like tipped twice, and he makes like a little toe save, and like basically like it's definitely within the first couple minutes, and that was game saver on its own. If that had gone in, like, this game would have even gone worse from there. But
off right a skate,
yeah,
save,
yeah. So it like goes off the stick of Kampf there, off a leg, and then he just barely sees it. So. And that's a save that he normally has trouble with, right? So I felt good about that. And then also, again, like, there was a breakaway save that he makes. Sammy, there's no, I'm not putting this on Sammy at all. Like, it got away. Like, did you see the Domi clipping Swayman play? And, like, we don't know that happens at the time of everything going sideways, right? And then, like, you look back on it, it's just like, yeah, like, what are you doing, man? Like, oh, man. Like, do that to
I don't hate that
else.
At all. Skating across the ice, TV timeout, hits him in the shoulder, Swayman. I guess Swayman leaned into him, too, a little bit, but Swayman definitely got the brunt end of that one, hit the ground.
You're just asking for it, though, when momentum's on your side. And then, like, it was a clear change from there. So, like, I mean, do that to Marchand. Do that to DeBrusque, you know? But, like, once you do it to another team's goal, you're just asking to open a can of worms that, like, I know that this is a tough Leafs team, but, like, we don't want to, like, the Leafs are perfect when they are tough enough that the other team doesn't want to engage in it. And then, but if they get a team that wants to over-engage and play that game, that's when things go sideways. Because we don't have, like, a whole lineup of guys that will buy in. We just have, like, each line has one. You know, we have tough defensemen. But, like, you know, like, you're going to lose that battle if it's, like, against the toughest teams in the league. And like Boston, like even though they're not filled with like, you know, murderers, they just have this team identity. And like Marchand obviously is just the, and he deserves to be the captain because it's a team that plays just like him, basically.
Yeah, Brad Marchand. I don't even want him to be the story. He's going to be the story. He's going to be all over the front page. It's going to be, all you're going to see is Brad Marchand's face all over Twitter and Facebook and, you know, beating the Leafs. 2-1 series lead. It could all change, you know, 2-2. We leave home with a 2-2. And I mean, did you really expect anything different? I was just kind of hoping that they won this one.
Well, like, I mean, I was saying originally that, like, you came out in the upper hand coming out of Boston, right? And like, it just feels like you've kind of pissed that away now, because you're sitting at the point that like you just, you know, you lost the first two and now you've taken the first one at home, but now it actually kind of feels a little bit worse because you've lost at home. So yeah, like, I don't know, it's the Leafs. I have never found play better when they're like in their own building. Like, we've seen them be,
they're in the playoffs, they are on now a 5-game losing skid in the, like, in their own building,
right? So that's yeah, where that feeling comes from. So yeah, like, feeling, I mean,
correct,
yeah, like, and everyone was talking about like, who cares if you're home or away, it doesn't matter, the Leafs play like good on the road. But yeah, it just, it feels like an advantage you've lost now. So I'd say it's where, you know, if a series was just going as expected, you know, every home team is winning at this point. Let's just, if you look at it that way.
Yeah. So 20 seconds into the game or something like that, 40 seconds into the game, Benny flips the puck over the glass. Yeah. Did you not have bad vibes from right then and there that there might be problems in tonight's game? 40 seconds in, it felt like, guys, this isn't the regular season anymore. You know that, right?
I mean, like, I'll be honest, it started even before that. Like, I was screaming at my TV, I think, 10 seconds into this game. And it was because Marner just decides that he wanted to skate away from the puck twice when they were trying to exit the zone. And it's just like, dude, like, that's part of your job. You, like, Benoit has the puck. Take it from him. Like, you know, skate up the ice with the puck. But instead, he, like, goes behind the defenseman. And now he's not there to help. And so now it's a turnover. And so, like, that happened twice. Then at the same time that that's happening, Knies and Matthews collide with each other. I didn't even notice if it's on that, in that clip. But, and then the Benoit puck over the glass. So, like, yeah, needless to say, it was a brutal start.
In 40 seconds.
Yeah. In 40 yeah, seconds, I had already yelled 4 times. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a really tough way to start the game. So I basically say that because, you know, there's no changes. This lineup was the same lineup from game one and game two. And I don't know where you make a change, but do you think there's going to be a change for game four?
I mean, unless it's William Nylander, like, I don't think that makes the difference, you know? Like, who's coming in that's going to make you better on the power play?
Willie.
Nobody. Yeah, yeah. Nobody except for Willie. So yeah, if it's not him, then, like, I don't really care. Bringing TJ Brody into this lineup, I don't think makes a difference. You know, like, bringing in Noah Gregor doesn't make a difference. If Bobby McMahon...
Connor Timmins.
Yeah, don't even start. Like, if Bobby McMahon, like, miraculously, like, feels better, then yeah, like, throw him in there because he's a guy that can pot a goal. But yeah, I don't know. It comes within, like, just like every other friggin' season. That, like, Matthews is doing his part. Marner, I think, played really well for 10 minutes tonight. Besides some of his PK work, like, everyone has to mention, yes, he's good at PK. But as far as controlling the game, like, I thought that there was the play, this right here, which was just, that's exactly what you want from him. And I was just, that's where I was screaming happiness. But, like, that, and then about five, it was 5 minutes before that play and about 5 minutes after that play, and that's it. Like, you might have seen a zone entry here there where he looked okay, but he's not the same. And, like, they mentioned on the broadcast that, like, just think high ankle sprain, and this guy's a guy who uses his feet a ton. And it's like, well, yeah, I'm friggin' dumb for thinking that he was going to be good in this playoffs, because, like, it's 80% of a guy that usually struggles out of the gate. So
yeah, who's already not strong enough, and now he's got a weak ankle. Like he's getting beat off board battles. He's getting, how many times did you watch Mitch Marner get pushed off the puck tonight? Over under 10?
Over. Over.
Yeah, I think it was probably 12 or 13 times watched him.
Yeah. There's like as soon as you sang that, there's like three or four instantly that pop into my mind. So yeah, over. Yeah, I don't know. It's a guy where like I was comparing him, talking to my girlfriend over dinner about the Leafs. I was talking about like how like Patrick Kane is like a similar type of player who he's not physical. He's a playmaker. I mean, he's also a scorer, but like he's a guy who has a dog mentality and is able to like lead a team. And that's just like not this guy, you know, and it is what it is at this point. Like, I don't know, after the playoffs, maybe we'll have some hot takes, but like this guy just has to dial it in, you know. I just and it might be a shuffle if Willie's back, like put him on a third line, you know. Like, I don't know, if
even with Marner needs somebody to play with too, right? Like if Nylander comes back, then Nylander can help, you know, Marner's case for being the player that he is, because half the reason that Marner's good is Matthews, right? Like if he didn't have the Matthews skill, even though he might not be getting the assist, he probably could get secondary assists on a third of his goals this season. He started the play, or he passed it to Marner, who passed it back, and he scored. Like, you know, so it's like, if you're not making plays with anybody, then it's really, really hard to shine as an offensive producer. And that's Mitch Marner's role on this team. So with William Nylander back, throw him on the second line with Mitch Marner, and all of a sudden, maybe we're going, these guys are great.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure it's going to be that quick of a change, but possibly. You know, he is, like, Tavares is a great board battler. You know, he's great in front of the net. He isn't the best defensively, doesn't have the best foot speed, and he's not a great playmaker. And so those are kind of, like, the things that Marner does thrive on. But, like, he is a guy that you can, like, throw a puck to, and he can bury it. So, like, he just has to, like, be more like Connor McDavid, and Tavares can be your Hyman, but Tavares isn't going to be your Austin Matthews. You know, it's just not who he is.
No.
Yeah.
No. And I think, I think William Nylander needs to come back either way. There's so many reasons we're like, yeah, but if we had Willie, like, can we talk about how fucking weird that is for a second? I know it's been like beat to the ground, but William Nylander not playing already to game three, like, do you think he'll be back at all for the rest of the series? Like, I think that's a valid question at this point.
I think it depends how long the series goes, obviously, but like today was the first time that he was actually in like line rushes. So like, I mean, I think that he is progressing. I don't think he's out forever or for the season, for the series, but I don't know. It just seems like, what could be keeping you out this long? And like, there's so many theories out there, and like the most logical one to me seems like an emergency surgery or something that happened, because like it's kind of been put into his corner to like, when you feel ready, you can play. Like, that seems to be the vibe going around. And so like, if it was an injury, like a back or a like groin or something, like, I think he'd be out there, you know. Like,
there's lots of talk that it was potentially concussion. That's 7 days.
Yeah. So like, 7 days. Today would have been his first day. He would have been out, because last Wednesday. Oh no, it would have been tomorrow. So that doesn't really check
maybe
out.
Maybe he plays the next game.
But he wouldn't have been able to be in practice. He took line rushes.
No contact. But you're allowed to do exercise. Maybe that's what they considered as exercise.
Maybe.
So concussion protocol. This is what I heard on Kipper and Bourne earlier, is that, and Kipper would know, right?
Of course.
The concussion protocol is that you sit out for 7 days and you're allowed to test it with exercise. And they maybe thought that the exercise was considered his skating and taking line rushes, testing to see if he was ready. But he can't actually participate in a full practice because can't take any contact. Yeah.
Right.
So
unless he was wearing a non-contact shirt, but that would be a giveaway. So like, they probably don't want to do that.
Exactly. I think I'm pretty much sold on the fact that Willie's got a concussion, and I think it's a valid question. Like, if he come back for game four, like, is is he good now? And there, it's the concussion spotters, and that's why he's out practicing and things are fine and like it seems fine. Like, I don't know. I just don't get it. And if he's not going to be back before the end of the series, like, he must be, because otherwise he'd be home, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
because you wouldn't be toying with the other coach's head for the next series. Like, what?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't put it past them, like, to toy with for this series, you know, but no, like,
but if he's not coming, I guess. Yeah,
you know,
I see
the
it.
Wonder, but I don't. Yeah, I'm not sure that that's it, though. Like, I think not that it's not the concussion, that they're just like kind of putting him around just to spoof. But yeah, the concussion's definitely a good valid point. That kind of like makes me like feel hopeful and not hopeful at the same time, because like 7 days, it's over, injury healed. But then it's like,
it's okay, it's just his brain.
But yeah, it's like, oh yeah, but it's a concussion, it's his brain. And we've seen like some really bad, you know, situations around concussions. So
yeah,
you know, and like we've lost one of really our best bad defensemen because of this. So yeah, I think that, yeah, that's just such a, you know, question mark now. But hopefully if he's actually, you know, skating, that means that he's feeling a bit better and then he'll come back. Because yeah, end of this game, even like without, even we're like down 3-2 and there's 5 minutes left, even if he's in that whole time, just to have him on that ice to be able to control play. He's a shooter that you believe can pot one in the net.
You like, don't think Willie would have a goal by now?
Oh, he would. No question. And like, no, it's question. sad when I'm like excited that the puck goes on Robertson's stick. Cause it's just like, ah, a shooter, you know, like shoot it, you know, but it's just, he
Yarncroke was firing it tonight.
Yeah. Yarncroke, yeah, he loves to fire it. Yarncroke and Tavares are very similar. That like their go-to move is like one deke and a fire on net. Like,
yeah, that's true, and that is pretty frustrating, especially having Tavares in the top six like that, because trying to like, you know, like we said earlier, create with Marner of the one deke and fire it on net kind of kills play. Like, I don't know where he gets all this confidence from. Like, I know he scored all these goals and he makes $11 million and he's obviously better than me. Like, I'm not saying anything like that, but what the fuck are you doing, man? Like, you're not the only guy out there and you're not like a 25-year-old phenom with two plugs for line mates anymore, bud. You're off the island.
Yeah. It's one of those where I just think that you can't get it out of their brain, you know? And it's just and to be fair, most of the time when he does it, he's in the zone by himself. So like, you know, put a puck on that, who cares? But it's,
take it in. Does he have no hands? His hands are stone.
Yeah, well, no, his hands are great. His feet are stone. So as soon as his hands go, his feet stop. So like, he's just deking in one spot at that point. So
It's like he's in water.
Yeah.
Oh fuck, that's not good. All right, well, what else you got on this game, CP?
I don't know. Like, Edmonton, I felt like we first, like, it was the first time we actually saw a playoff.
Oh,
Edmonton.
Yeah. We didn't do the Edmonton. Yeah. Edmonton was great. Edmonton was a huge contributor tonight. He had an assist, too, ton of blocks, and he had a massive save.
Yeah.
Right here. Big block. Sammy was not ready for that. Eddie was.
The only thing is, like, Sammy's getting run into by a Boston Bruin at that point, so I'm not sure it would have counted.
True.
But, yeah.
No, that's a good observation.
Awesome save, though. And, like, and it wasn't the only one. He made a few more blocks just right after that. So, I mean, it's hard when the game gets away from you and you're just chasing offense to, you know, give credit to one of your defensive guys. But for the first, you know, half of the game, he was definitely a huge contributor. And he is a guy, like, they have him out there in the last 5 minutes. And he's obviously not going to do anything important, but he can hold his own. Like, he can make a pass across a blue line. He's not totally useless. And he's actually really good at pinching because he's so massive, you know? So,
yeah, he's a pretty smart player. Like, he knows when to do what. And he doesn't pinch up often, but you're right. He knows when to. And except for, I mean, I guess, yeah, the very first goal of the series was a pinch with Joel Edmondson and Ryan Reeves. Was the one who fucked that up, right?
Yeah, that wasn't that. Edmondson's fault.
Okay.
Reeves all right, cool. Checked Edmondson.
So yeah, then no, I'm going to stick with my take that Joel Edmondson, he makes good decisions because I every time that I see him, he seems to have that calming presence that I don't know. It's like the puck sticks to him for some reason. He's a very good defender and blocker of the puck.
Yeah, definitely. And actually, and to stay on the same train with Lyubushkin and Riley were very strong. And like, I think that I got blinded by game one that like I didn't feel like Riley was very impactful. And then I looked back on the numbers from the last game and his numbers were great. And then again tonight, I felt like he was good. Lyubushkin, I think, is passing up on a lot of physical play, which I don't love, but also I don't hate, because like I love those impactful plays. But I think he's just more worried about being in the right position and playing more like Joel Edmondson versus, you know, like he used to, and be more of a blow up the zone type of a guy. So it's something where there was a couple times, though, where like he had an opportune chance to take a run at Pasta and Marchand, and he just passes them up, kind of. It's different from him, but I mean, as long as he's playing good defensively, that's all I really care about.
Is it though?
No.
Is it though?
It's not.
That's not
in my
why
heart.
He's here.
Well, I mean, if he's going to be a better defensive player when he isn't like that, like I'll take it. But no, you want to see like those blow up hits. There's no question. But yeah.
Yeah, no, that's why he was brought here. That's why the whole fan base was sold on bringing Boosh back, because Boosh lays hits. But like, no, I mean, Benny laid a few big hits. Say Edmondson, you notice McCabe. Yeah. Really notice Boosh blowing people up like he used to. And we missed that aspect of his game. Like, absolutely. The one thing that I will say, though, is that like, I didn't really notice Boosh tonight, which is good for him. So
right. But like, that's, yeah, he's not throwing hits, so you don't notice him, but he's not doing anything bad, so you're not noticing him.
So you don't notice him.
Yeah. Part of it's that he's playing with Morgan Riley instead of being on a third pair. And so like, he's getting tough minutes. You know, you can't just always be running around out there. And so, you know, maybe I hate saying it, because I'm the guy that loves the big hits. You know, I love the physical play. But I also love a really good defensive player. And so like, it is what it is.
Yeah, I guess. Is how you going to call him a really good defensive player? We'll have to check the numbers on that and come back on the next one. So we're back.
I just know some off the top of my head. Before tonight, they had 8 inner slot shots when they're on the ice and 0 when they're not, or when they're against them. Sorry, 8-4 and 0 against inner slot shots.
0 against is really good.
Yeah.
8-4, what does that have to do with the price of tea in China?
Well, like, it's just saying that they're
inner slot shots. Defensemen, I mean, don't really contribute to that. Maybe. No,
if the biggest number is they're getting some when he's on there, and they're not getting any, which is the important part.
Which is good. Which is good. Very good.
I don't know what it's like after tonight. But, yeah.
Yeah. So we have lots of questions for game 4 Saturday back in Toronto. Where's Willie? Is there going to be any changes to the lineup? Leafs suck. Yeah, they do. Yeah. Fuck, they drive me nuts.
Yeah.
Anyways, why? I don't know. Do you think they can pull out the win? Do you think they're going to get a series tie here?
I think it's going to go to game 7, and we're going to see if they can pull it off there. So, yeah, I don't
know
how
they're... game 7 at TD Garden.
Yeah, hopefully, like...
I can't come on here. I have to watch that fucking game and then come on here after.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, I just sat on the couch. I was like, I hate when they lose, because I have to go and be sad on this pod. I just want to go to bed depressed. Like, that's what I used to deal with this team. It's just like, you know, just be like, I'm sad. I'm going to sleep now. Wake up and be like, I'm still sad, but I'll get over it. Now I have to come and talk about it and get my feelings out. It's different for me.
Absolutely. Yeah. Come does like therapy. Yeah. Shit. All right. Awesome. Okay. Well, we'll be back Saturday. That's a wrap for now. Thanks for joining us. Split the Defense, Leafs post game. We appreciate your comments. To show your support, hit that like button, subscribe on YouTube, and please rate and review the show. We want your feedback. Find us on X at STDP Hockey and search for Split the Defense on all other socials. Until next time, peace.
Peace.
Thanks for tuning in to Split the Defense.
Split the Defense.
Leafs post-game edition. Hosted by Jordan Webster, Craig Pierce, and producer Ted Evans. We'll be right back. Split the Defense is presented by LaForest Electrical Contractors. Professional and efficient service since 2004, serving the Kingston and surrounding areas.